On this day in history, a president was born whose administration was characterized as the era of good feelings, and he promoted a doctrine that inspired future presidents for years to come. Who is he, and what was his doctrine? We'll talk about that coming up. Let's get started. On this day, April 28th, 1758, President James Monroe was born. He was the last of three presidents who together made up the Virginia dynasty. That was Jefferson, Madison, and Monroe. The election of Monroe in 1817 didn't look anything like the elections we've had in recent years, especially this year's. It was a harmonious event. It seemed like partisan politics had vanished. Doesn't that sound awesome? Well, Monroe was the last of the presidents who resembled the founders in dress as well as name. And it was such a prosperous era that it came to be known as the era of good feelings. Doesn't it sound sweet? Partisan politics gone and an era of good feelings. Oh, for the days, right? Well, the most popular thing about the Monroe presidency was the Monroe Doctrine. And here's how it came about. Russia had been trading furs with the Alaskan Indians, and they extended that trade to California after the War of 1812, at which time it was a Spanish territory. But soon after that, Mexico and other Spanish colonies in Central and South America rebelled against the tyrannical mother country, Spain, and they formed their own republics. It was suspected that Russia, Spain, and other European monarchies were in cahoots. They were planning to help Spain to win back the rebelling colonies. Now, Monroe and his cabinet feared that if this happened, Russia might ask Spain for the western Spanish territories as a payment for their help, and the other powers might try to do a land grab in this hemisphere as well. So Monroe and his cabinet discussed the issue at length. Now, Monroe was greatly influenced by his Secretary of State, who was John Quincy Adams. And as a result of their deliberations on December 2nd, 1823, President Monroe sent a message to Congress which set forth the Monroe Doctrine. Now, as I said, John Quincy Adams influenced Monroe so much that Quincy Adams actually was the author of this document. It basically showed the world who's boss in this hemisphere. Now, the document basically declared three things. First of all, it dealt with Russia by declaring the American continent, especially the Northwest coast, as closed off from any foreign colonization. Second, in dealing with Spain, it declared that any meddling with Latin American states by foreign powers for the purpose of oppressing them is considered as a threat to the United States. And third, in dealing with those tyrannical governments in Europe, it declared that any attempt on European nations of extending their political system to any part of this hemisphere as dangerous to our peace and safety. Well, the Monroe Doctrine worked. All European and Russian schemes to interfere with us were ended. Now, the doctrine wasn't intended to threaten foreign powers. Monroe didn't intend that. Well, maybe a little bit in a passive-aggressive kind of way. He wanted the tone of this doctrine to promote peace and harmony. The substance of the argument is that since the United States stays out of European affairs, we won't allow Europeans to interfere with affairs in our hemisphere. Monroe said he was acting on the advice of George Washington in his farewell speech about not meddling with European affairs. As Washington said, peace with all, but entangling alliances with none. Monroe said he wanted to keep America for the American. Well, this doctrine completely separated the new and old world once and for all. And this doctrine was cited by future presidents to justify actions. McKinley used it to justify the Spanish-American War. Teddy Roosevelt used it to build the Panama Canal. And JFK cited it when he blocked the Soviet ships from coming to Cuba.